Hi there, and thank you for joining us for Women's Wisdom Through the Ages. My name's Catherine Joy or Catherine J, and I'm here with the lovely Kerri-Ann McPherson today. So I'm really pleased to have her here. Welcome. And for those of you who haven't seen the Women's Wisdom Through the Ages yet, this is up to episode 5 of series 1. And basically, the thinking is that women of different ages think quite differently. And we have different priorities at different times, but also sometimes women haven't really had a voice. So it's also just in general trying to give women a bit of a voice. And hopefully, through the course of the conversations, that we're dealing with different issues in society, and that perhaps either the person who's the guest or together we can come up with solutions to overcome different issues. And obviously, we're in the lockdown at the moment. We're both in Sydney, and it's a really difficult time for everybody. But we also want to, acknowledge that, but also bring hope. So that's what we hope that you'll get out of it tonight. And before I ask Kerri-Ann to interview, to sorry, to introduce herself and tell us a bit about herself, I'd like to share how I met her, because I think that's a really interesting story. I was at Bunnings one day. And we came in and we just saw this sausage sizzle, and we saw this couple there, and this lovely vivacious young lady, and we just sort of got chatting at the sausage sizzle, and it turns out that they also had a passion to, come alongside young people, and I was there with my partner who is a social worker who loves, who obviously comes alongside families, and so there was a lot in common immediately. And there was just a connection. So we met at a sausage sizzle. So it was just lovely. And we've caught up many times and obviously much more connected now. So, and yeah, so Kerri-Ann, you tell us a bit about yourself, please. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Catherine. I feel
And
privileged.
just speak up a little bit because I can barely hear you. I
Okay.
don't know what.
I do feel privileged to be able to speak on your program. I probably have lived in Sydney for quite a few decades now. My children have grown and are dependent on themselves now. So it's just my husband and I now at home, which is tidy.
That's a good word, isn't it? I look forward to that soon.
Children. We really miss our grandchildren in this isolation,
Yes.
though. A bit difficult, but I am aware that most people are doing it a lot more difficult than what we are.
Yes.
And so we try and do a lot of things that engage people and help them so that we don't have a huge population in Sydney that are isolated and lonely.
Yes, absolutely. And also, you have many different projects you work on. So the one that I heard about the day at the sausage sizzle is Breakthrough Houses. So I'd love for you to share a bit about that first.
The lead up to that was we were foster parents for a long time when our children were young. And we also had other people living with us quite often. But the foster children, we found that not all families really needed to be separated. There should be a way that if they could have external assistance around them, supervising, speaking into the home, guiding them, that this family could stay together. And we couldn't find anything that facilitated that. So, long story short, we started up Breakthrough Houses as a charity ourselves.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And it's the first time I've heard of it. Like that it's available, which is such a good idea. Yeah. Awesome.
Families come and get supervised to live well together. They learn whatever it is they need to know.
Yes, I'm just aware there's quite a bit of background noise happening. So what I might have to do is just put us on pause if I can work out how to do that, because obviously we're both, it's evening over here in Sydney, but I just need to check on that noise outside. I'll be back in a tick. Okay, so we're back recording. Okay, thanks for your patience there. Yeah, so, and I've met quite a few people that live in the breakthrough houses, and it's just wonderful. And I think one of the things that I really like about it as well, it's not just short term, that people can be there, you know, for a long time, which I just think is absolutely lovely. And
some people can come just for a short time, they learn mm-hmm. what they need to know, and they can go and replicate it themselves. Mm-hmm. But others stay for longer. There is no time frame set.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Every case is different.
Yeah. And do you have different like expectations or boundaries in the house that make it work better?
Boundaries, yes. Mm-hmm. We probably started off with the basic things, like the same sort of rules that I did for my own children.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked out a program from that.
Mm-hmm.
And having mixed families living together,
mm-hmm.
you need to have boundaries that everybody uniformly lives to.
Yes.
And it helps. It get particularly children, mm-hmm. they live well with boundaries and
mm-hmm. yeah.
knowing that they're the same boundaries for everybody. Mm-hmm. Does children good.
Yeah. And one of the things I noticed quite a few years ago, or well, probably wasn't that long ago, I was on holidays and I stayed at I think it was a youth hostel, and it was really interesting. They were all people who were professionals but who didn't want to go into share house situations or renting a room with different people. And nearly all of these people were actually from overseas. But one thing that all of them had in common when I was speaking with them was they were uncomfortable with the amount of alcohol or drugs that was seen to be normal in the house. So I imagine that at breakthrough houses, that would be one of the boundaries. Would that be right?
There's no alcohol or drugs on the property anywhere.
Yeah.
Because we don't know who's the varying addictions and weaknesses, mm. and so it's just easier all round, safer yes. for everybody.
Yes.
And have yep. abstinence.
Yep. And I find sometimes, you know, and people might ask about that, and because we're just aware, people who listen to this podcast, they're not just from one religious background, or they're, you know, from all different backgrounds. So my general rule of thumb is I love having a glass of wine. But if I know someone is an alcoholic or has a problem who's been an alcoholic, I won't have a drink with them, because it's just, I don't want to be responsible for them, you know, going down
courtesy.
A way that they...
Courtesy.
Yeah, yeah. So, great. And you also are involved with a food program. Tell us about the food program.
Every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
morning, we have food available for anybody
mm-hmm.
that can come and access. Fruit and vegetables always free,
mm-hmm.
And other produce for $5 a grocery bag. You can choose from what we've got,
mm-hmm.
what your preference is
mm-hmm.
of things.
And so I think that's is it meat, dry foods. Yeah, and
some cleaning products or mm-hmm. personal hygiene things. Or
yeah.
It varies from week to week. You can never guarantee what we're going to have, but we try and source stuff that you usually get about $30, $40 worth of product mm-hmm. into a bag that
yeah.
you buy for a $5 donation.
Yeah, wonderful.
So it really helps the dollar go further.
Yeah. And have you found at the moment, especially during isolation, that there's been an increased demand?
Yes. And that's probably a twofold reason, that mm-hmm. there's probably more families that are aware that they've got a problem
yes.
and need assistance.
Yes.
But also a lot of other programs that were running are mm-hmm. closed because
oh, wow.
of the virus. They don't want to put their volunteers in the situation of
mm-hmm.
handling this.
Yeah, and I hear you've got a really good way to overcome that. Tell us how you're doing that in a Hope Chapel type way.
Yeah, we are clever at thinking outside the box. So we, particularly when we know fruit and vegetables are going to be free, we just make up bags of free vegetables and fruit that people can do a drive-through. They do the drive-through the car park, wind down the window, and we just put a bag in, they keep going. So for those, particularly those that are isolating, it's a it's a good way to do shopping.
It is, yeah. It's fabulous. So you guys are doing a great job down there. And also I just mentioned Hope Chapel. So you are one of the senior pastors with your husband, Pastor Rick. Yeah. And one of the reasons I've invited you on this week is that I'm just so aware that at different times of the year, there's more times of more intense emotion. So leading up to Christmas, leading up to Easter, leading up to Father's Day, and obviously this week having Mother's Day. Have you found there's been much of an impact with that?
We're always a little bit sensitive with Mother's Day at Hope Chapel because we understand that not everybody has the hallmark mum situation. Some people wouldn't know who their mum is, or it hasn't been good. And some people have been raised by step-parents, or they probably know their neighbour better than they knew their own mum, or it could be an auntie. Teachers have had big impact on lives of children. And I know the people I can think of in my life, the women in my life that I can talk about and think to as having been influential. And so I think they all need to be acknowledged on a day like Mother's Day. It takes more than one woman to get it right with children.
Absolutely. And give the mums a break as well. Some people have like a second mum who could be an auntie or a best friend or someone. But I was talking with someone today and just saying about there's a few women who I know that have never been married, never had children. And for example, and I'm hopefully maybe even some of these women will actually see this podcast or videocast at some time, but like one of them is a chaplain, one of them is a school psychologist, and just two off the top of my head immediately, just the most loving, the most nurturing, the most mothering people. And yet they've always wanted to get married and have children, but they haven't. So it's just, it's amazing. And I think there's a scripture somewhere in the Bible that says, I should know it. It's something like, blessed is the barren woman, for she shall have many children or something. And that's just, I don't know if that's the right words, but it's just that that's something that I've felt because I always wanted to get married and have children as well. And that hasn't happened yet. So it can be a very difficult time because a lot of times, even though you feel like you're pouring love into, whether it be in your job, which could be a social worker, could be a teacher, could be a nurse, so many different jobs have that. You could be working at Bunnings and coming alongside some of the young girls who work there, or there's so many different situations. But it's really good to hear that you're acknowledging people that are not just your traditional mums as well. I think that's really important because it can be such a difficult time because it's a time of, it's a reminder of grief, of lost dreams almost every year, I think. So it's really important.
It does a lot of harm and it takes away from the fact that I think the community does well in acknowledging and honouring the nurturers. But I think we should probably use that word more than this title of mother. Put honour the characteristic and the value rather than the title.
Yes. And I was I had the privilege in recent years to be quite close with the Muslim community in one place. And speaking to the imam, and he would always say that you honour according to the Islamic religion, that the mother, that your teacher, for example, if you have a female teacher, she's like your second mum. And I thought, that's beautiful. I'd never heard that before. So that was just really honouring. So they just, you know, promoting. And I know, like I said, that people listening to this podcast will have all different backgrounds, and some people not believe in God at all. And so we try and make it, you know, all inclusive. But that was just really lovely to hear that side. So, and just,
it doesn't matter where you fit in religion. Mm. Every soul needs a nurturer.
Absolutely. Yeah. So important. Yeah. And
I do believe in God, mm-hmm. but I do also know that he allows us to be engaged with humans. And there's a lot of things that God leaves up to humans to do.
Yes. Yes. I also believe in God, obviously. You're my pastor. Thank you for that. But it's, I think when I finally found God, because I didn't grow up a Christian, so I had been searching, and I'd been searching, you know, different things, and I'd learned about different religions at university. I'd been living overseas and, you know, even spent a few days in a Buddhist Confucian Taoist monastery at one time, when it was like quite a lot of, it was almost like political instability happening. So it was quite scary. There was myself and a friend. So we were sort of hanging out at this place because it was safe, and we were studying it at university. So we were, you know, hearing about different things. But I think after my own experience, I ended up, I wanted everybody else to know, but I learned after too long probably that I also believe God loves absolutely everybody, but it's between them and God. It's not up to me at all. So it's so that's been really, really nice, that because I know sometimes people are turned off, and even the fact, I don't know if you've had the situation where you know, I don't know, have you ever had a situation where someone finds out you're a pastor and is like, oh my gosh, they don't want to talk to you, or they're a bit shocked?
No, because they don't know that until they've known me for a long time.
Yes.
I don't introduce myself as my title anywhere first.
Yes.
So they've got to know me and who I am before they find out, oh, is that what you do?
Yes.
And then you can see them trying to figure how that all works.
Yes, yes. And also that's how I met you, because I didn't know, I mean, all I knew was that you were doing breakthrough houses. And then I came in to meet with you one day and have a coffee. This is obviously before lockdown. And then it was, oh, it's at a church. I wonder if you have something to do with this church. So, yeah. So that was really interesting, a different way to meet, because, yeah. And so I just wanted to find out a bit more. Tell us what's... I've got questions that I normally ask people, but obviously I want it to be a little bit different today, because we're talking about Mother's Day, and I want to come to another reason of how you're doing Mother's Day different this week, because I know there's something really special. But just before we go to that, what is something you like to do in your spare time? Because you're so much, you pour into so many other people. You're doing the food program, you're a pastor, you're, you know, helping run breakthrough houses, you know, you're married, you're a grandmother, you know, you have children. So what do you do in your spare time that helps you just relax and be Carrie Ann?
Books are probably my go-to. Reading a book is a wonderful holiday for me.
And
so I do a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm. And what's an example? Oh, sorry, you go.
But spinning. I love wool. I love playing with wool. I'm not good at creating anything. You wouldn't sell anything that I create. But the process of playing with the wool, spinning it, dyeing it, creating something is medicinal also for me.
Wow. And is that the round that I can see behind? Is that the... Wow, the spinning wheel. Okay, fabulous. Yeah, awesome. And have you had I know you've been really busy because obviously, you know, with the food parcels, sometimes I know one thing that you are doing is that you are dropping off food to people who, especially because they're isolated because of their age or different reasons. So I know that you're even busier than usual. Is there any books that you've read recently that you could recommend to somebody? Maybe one that would help. I don't know if it was fun or if it was romance or I don't know.
No, I'm into biographies and nonfiction. Mm-hmm. More than, so I've got nothing I could tell you about the romance or fun, sorry.
Okay, so what about, what's a biography or an autobiography you've read recently that you quite enjoyed?
Barnett, what's his name? Matthew Barnett's father, I've gone blank on the name.
Okay, there's something happening with your sound. I don't know if it's actually your laptop. So just go again. Somebody, Barnett?
Barnett. Yeah, Barnett is his surname. I forget his first name.
Okay. And why was he special? Or why is he special?
He's a minister in America. Matthew Barnett. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. Matthew Barnett. And he set up Dream Builders.
Oh, wow.
And that's a housing project in LA.
Okay.
That because of our heart in those things, I probably understand and affiliate with him. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's doing it bigger and better than anything we've ever done, but I love reading his journey about how that's all happened.
Okay. And just give us a bit of background. What's special about how he's doing it?
He was 18 years old when he went to LA, mm-hmm. and they purchased an old rundown, I think it was a hospital, mm-hmm. and had been emptied for so, so long in a bad part of town. And so they purchased that and started doing it up and allowing people to come and live there in the process as well. So it was a rehab centre.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Also got housing for families in crisis. It's mm-hmm. got so many different aspects, people that just need to come and after prison or something and learn how to reintegrate back into society. They've just got so many different aspects mm-hmm. that they have all on this one property.
Wow.
That he was only 18 when he started there. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. And I think I love that too, because I never know what we're doing either.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's wonderful. I'll have to look him up. Mm-hmm. And what was the second one? So you said biographies, and what was the second one?
Nonfiction.
Nonfiction. So what's a nonfiction book that you've read recently that you could recommend, that you liked?
I don't remember. I've always got Kindle. Mm-hmm. is my preference because I can take it with me everywhere.
Yes.
I also am on Blinkist.
Okay.
Because I can hear the abridged version of something anytime.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, what have I read recently? Excellence Wins. That's a good book.
Oh, okay.
Highly recommend that. That is by Horst Schultz. He ran a very successful hotel. Mm-hmm. And so he tells how to do that well, whatever your business or industry, how to look after your staff, how do you look after your clients and do it well. That was a very good book.
Yes. And I'm really, that's really good that you've mentioned that, because you're also not a typical pastor. So I would say, like, even with your bio, when you sent that through, that your background is in social work, but then you were saying that you were most proficient as a personal secretary to corporate individuals, because you can, you know, you see the need before they're ready for it, which is such an amazing skill. And obviously running all of the different capacities that you do run, it does, yeah, you utilize all of those skills all the time. But obviously your whole family has a very different take in some ways compared to more traditional pastors, in that you also teach and model good stewardship, and you've got business backgrounds, like, you know, you're both in business, and you know, other pastors there in business, and so tell us a bit about that.
For me personally, I probably never needed to have a title. I've never wanted it. I've never needed a profile. I'm happy to just get the job done, even if no one ever sees me. And that's probably worked out in my favour also in a lot of places. The fact that I'm senior minister now was not because I wanted it or strove for it in any way. I was happy getting the job done at a second level or just as a team leader. And so I like doing things that set other people up for success. So I like being able to see something that someone's good at and saying, allowing them to run with it and getting whatever encouragement or space they can create out of that for themselves. And I'll always go find someone else or another task. I'm not ever lost for, oh gosh, they got my job, what am I going to do now? Yes. I'm happy to, okay, there's always going to be something else.
Isn't there? Somewhere. Yeah. So, but I suppose because I'm quite new to Sydney in general, I only came down, you know, November last year. But just to see, you know, a church running where it's, I would say it's more on what we say, kingdom lines, where you just, to me, if people are working and if they're able to get paid or, you know, it's a wonderful model. And, you know, one of the, for example, my illustrator for my book also goes to our church. And so that was wonderful. Like, I actually did a call out and I contacted just different people I knew in different states around Australia and even New Zealand. And I did an expression of interest process, where people got back to me. I, you know, told them a little bit about what the book was about, and also said, you know, got them to, you know, give examples of the main character, of what they thought the main character would look like. And when I was interviewing Nariki about the book, which is called The Man Who Came Back, I loved his, you know, the ideas that he had for the main character. And when he was being interviewed, he actually said that you were the one that told him that I was looking for an illustrator. So I think that's also really important, because obviously he was being paid, like I employed him as a professional illustrator, and then that ended up being his very first ever job. And there was probably, I think there was at different parts, there were 6 or 8 people that were actually, you know, vying for that position. So that was just wonderful to just see that, yeah, because that's not always the way it happens in a church. And now I'm just aware time is moving on, and like, we've both had a big day, but there's something special about this weekend that's happening for the Mother's Day service. So could you just share what's happening and maybe just tell us about that?
The Mother's Day service will go ahead. There's a lot of churches I know that get nervous about doing the Mother's Day thing, and so they avoid it so that they don't upset anybody. We don't avoid it. We just try and make it the most inclusive that we can for more. And so we will do that on this Sunday at 9:45 via Facebook live stream. But then after that, in a service separate, we're going to have a special service for those that have babies in heaven, empty mums with empty arms, or maybe they've got other children, but there's others they know that they're not around anymore for whatever reason. those babies that are in heaven. We're going to acknowledge those, mm-hmm. particularly those that have miscarried or aborted. Mm-hmm. You don't get a certificate. You don't get a funeral. You don't get anything. You don't even get the memory of having known something about the child. Mm. And so we're going to particularly love on those parents this weekend in a very short service. Mm. It'll only maybe be 10, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. but it addresses and allows them to acknowledge the existence of the child without any kind of judgment. Mm. By us, it's just mm-hmm. acknowledging the heart that grieves the loss.
And I think that's so important, because sometimes if people are pro-life, they also think that you're judging people who have had abortions. And I've had, you know, I know so many people who have had abortions for many different reasons. But the one thing that I have noticed is that they're just the shame. And so just to be able to love on them and also to celebrate that, you know, that there was a life there and it was part, and you're connected. So I think that's just so important. So again, so the church service is from 9:45. That usually goes, is it for an hour and a half roughly?
Yes. Probably. Ish. Because we do a lot of chatting now, this online, everybody takes opportunity to catch up and chat.
Yes.
So there's a lot of socialising there with the service.
Yes, I know, because sometimes like we're on like 15 minutes earlier and just sort of chatting, and then just like if we were at church, you'd sort of hang around and have a cup of coffee or something, so people are chatting after. So roughly what time, if people wanted to come in, if they're not able to?
11:30, we're going to go into this other service.
Okay,
we will watch the time and make sure that come 11:30.
Yeah.
That way, if there's other plans, because it's a day where people have probably got other plans as well, they can still get on with their day.
Yes. And is it open? If someone's not Christian, are they welcome to listen and join?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes. And if they pre-plan that they want to be part of the service and contact us, mm-hmm. I can have a chat with them about how they can prepare or what else they might like to do themselves. Mm-hmm. Or if we find with some people that they've given the child a name just so that they can keep the memory of themselves. So if they've done mm-hmm. that and they'd like us to mention the name in the service, mm-hmm. so if we have that conversation prior to, just to help, as much as it's going to be a group meeting, to help personalise it as much as possible for the individual.
Yep, wonderful. And I love even the name of Hope Chapel, because it's about bringing hope. And I know that a big part of it is actually going out, obviously, into the Blacktown community. And no matter what people's backgrounds are, that everybody is welcome. And like you said, no judgment. And it's just beautiful just coming in. You know, people feel welcomed, and I really find that even online, when I've spoken to people, I saw somebody come on from Indonesia that I know the other day. I know some people that have come on from the Gold Coast, and it's just beautiful. So and I've heard wonderful things. So especially if people are feeling a bit lost, especially on a day like Mother's Day, the same as Christmas Day, if you just want to check it out and have a look. Yeah, because it's a special day, and it's a day that quite often.
If it seems appropriate to you, I'm happy to give our phone number too, because mm-hmm. there's other times on Mother's Day where it would be good if someone had a voice to speak to and a chat.
Okay.
So if someone's struggling like that on Mother's Day, they can phone us. We will answer the phone on that day.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't forget, this video recording and the podcast will be up, you know, and stay online. You're happy with the phone number going out? Okay, great. So if I can add that into the text chat, but I don't know how to add all of that into the actual video to see it, but it'll be underneath where I put the podcast on Podbean and also on YouTube.
The landline will go through to our mobiles wherever we are.
Okay, so what's the landline?
9621 3964.
Hang on, you're still cutting in and out a little bit. So 9621 3964. So I'll just read that back one more time. So it's 02 because we're in New South Wales. 9621 3964, and then that'll go through either to one of the pastors from there. It could be Pastor Kerri-Anne or Pastor Rick or one of the other pastors there. So that's so generous of you, because it's you know, you're busy as well, and then on a day like that it's but we don't want people to be, you know, because yeah, it's just, I remember I listened to something the other day and they said that Good Friday at Easter was the busiest time for Lifeline. So like you said, it's about bringing hope to people. So I just want to thank you so much for everything that you do, especially for the people of Blacktown. And obviously as people see how well that is going, and it might just be people just dropping in or hearing about the food drive-through, food pickup or whatever it is, but I know that that's inspiring other people as well, are looking at Hope Chapel and saying, okay, well, what could we do at our, you know, organisation? Doesn't even have to be a Christian organisation, doesn't have to be, it might be a community service, it might, sometimes it's just, people are just getting ideas from you guys, even in their own life, because in especially a time like, you know, with the isolation, sometimes people might even be on JobKeeper. But it's about finding purpose. So I was speaking to some people recently and they were saying that they just want to go back to their job because they just want to be appreciated, or they just want to know that they're needed. So having purpose is really important. So and you're doing that day in and day out all the time. And I think sometimes people forget that there's, you know, there's random acts of kindness that has gone up during isolation, which is wonderful. But then there's people like you that just keep going all the time, all the time, all the time. So it's just want to honour you for that, because it can be tiring. So, yeah, so thank you so much. And thank you for being part of this. So it's called Women's Wisdom Through the Ages. And I'm Catherine Jay, or Catherine Joy. And we've been with Pastor Kerri-Anne McPherson from Hope Chapel, who also runs the food program and also involved with the Breakthrough Houses, which we heard about. So thank you so much. And hopefully some of you might, you know, choose to come online on Hope Chapel online for Mother's Day or any other Sunday. Okay. So if you just hold on and I'll just stop the recording. But thank you everyone for joining. We really appreciate your time. We know your time is valuable, even, you know, during isolation. You could well choose to look at something else. So we just want to honour you as well to say thank you for joining us.